Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday. That means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Raw after show. And have we got a show for you? We've got people who are in Elimination Chamber. R-Truth is out of Judgment Day, and Becky Lynch's child had to learn about the dark side of Moana. But before we get into all of that, of course, let me introduce the crew. I'm being joined, as always, by Justin LaBar and Jimmy Corderas. Justin, this, I feel like, should be a holiday, the day after a Super Bowl. I mean, this is it. Let's just make it official here. It's a holiday, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, over 100 million people partook in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, that's enough to warrant no school, no work. It's going to happen, though, because they're going to end up adding more games to the NFL schedule, and that's going to push everything back. And if they push back one more weekend, next Monday's President's Day, so we're already off anyway. So that's how it's all going to work out here in the States.
They really need to do that. They really need to just bring it all together. Jimmy, I know that you're in Canada. Maybe the NFL doesn't have quite the impact there, but
ooh, it does.
You know, you're our northern neighbors. You guys should have the day off too.
Yeah, but we have it off next Monday as well, but they call it Family Day up here. And why not have two nights of Super Bowl? If they can do two nights of WrestleMania, why not two nights of Super Bowl? I don't know.
Have them come back and play again.
No, you have the loser's bracket but NFL is very popular. Super Bowl parties all over the place. They love it. And I don't know if I've told you guys, big Tennessee Titans fan, because I was a big Houston Oilers mm-hmm. fan from back in the day, and just stuck with the franchise, you know?
Well, you know, I always say, as a Seahawks fan, offseason starts now. Let's build to the championship, baby. I'm not holding my breath, but I still have that attitude going into it.
There you go.
You know, Justin, speaking of football, I have a little question I want to throw your way as everyone lines up. And everyone, by the way, like, comment, share, subscribe. Mike Rouse saying, Jack, there's no school on Wednesday for the parade here in Kansas City, as there should not be. Everyone should be at the parade.
Are they gonna rename it Taylor Swift Day?
They should. I'm really glad that she had the chance to win the Super Bowl. I think that was the most important thing. I kind of wish that instead of interviewing people like the owner and the CEO and Mahomes and everyone, they should have let her hoist the Lombardi and just chat with Taylor for a little bit right after the game.
It's all fun, and first off, I'm one of those people. I'm fine with them showing her. It brings new people in to watch the game. I don't care, but I'm gonna tell you this. Pressure's on, old 87 there, old Travis. Pressure's on because now, brother, if you don't make this relationship work, if it doesn't get to the finish line, all those Swifty bandwagon fans that's jumped on the Chiefs bandwagon, you are going to be a heel amongst heels.
Mm-hmm. You know what I was actually thinking? This is like, you know, they break up. She writes just a scathing breakup song about him, and then she performs it at the Super Bowl halftime show while he's there trying to win a third one. That was my fantasy booking.
And he cuts a promo calling all the haters out there Swifty crybabies. You know, right.
as Jack, as The Rock would say, that's booking the long play.
That's all I'm thinking about. But fun game. I really enjoyed it. But Justin, I had this. Speaking of football, I had this question I want to run by you, and it's, we haven't talked about it. It's not on the rundown. I saw today that since beating John Cena, Solo Sikoa has not won a single match, and it made me think. It made me look back. Besides Roman Reigns, the last five people to beat John Cena in singles matches on television are Solo Sikoa, Austin Theory, Bray Wyatt, Shinsuke Nakamura of all people, and I'm blanking on the last one. It was
Did you say Roman?
Besides Roman Reigns, the last five people who beat him, I had it written down here. Triple H was the other one. Yeah. So Triple H. Speaking of those names, now obviously Bray Wyatt has his own things that have happened, but is beating John Cena kind of becoming the new Madden curse? It seems like all the guys that have beaten him one-on-one, you know, because Shinsuke beat him in a number one contenders match, by the way. I looked this up on Cage Match. These are the last ones. Beat him in a number one contenders match. Hasn't really been in that picture since. Triple H, obviously not quite there anymore. Now you look at Austin Theory. You look at Solo Sikoa. Is beating John Cena one-on-one the new Madden curse?
Well, the way things have transpired, I mean, you could draw that connection. I mean, Solo will be fine, though. He's the quiet enforcer who has mm-hmm. the throne coming to him at some point. It's hard for me to feel bad for John Cena in his life. Bray Wyatt, obviously tragic situation there. Triple H. Alive and running the company creatively, but obviously unfortunate that his health took the turn it did. He can't perform. Yeah, I mean, so I guess for Nakamura in theory, I'll feel bad for them.
I will say though, Mike, cutting me down here, saying Shin won tonight. I guess
yes, much needed.
Finally,
much needed.
And Baby I says, who doesn't love sports curses? Yes, it depends how it plays out for you, but someone who had some pretty good news, speaking of football, this past week. Former WCW Horseman member, and I should say for everyone who's here, we're trying out a little different format this week. So let us know in the chat, by the way, what you think of the format and how you feel the show goes. We're trying something new out here at Wrestling Inc. And we're going to start with talking about WCW Four Horsemen member Steve Mongo McMichael getting elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Jimmy, I know, did you have a lot of interactions with Mongo? In any case, I feel like most of his time was WCW.
WCW, yeah. And at the time of the purchase, there wasn't really much interaction with him. So I didn't get a chance. I got to meet him and say hello. That's it. And, you know, he was friendly enough. But like you said, I didn't have a lot of interaction with the man. So.
Yeah, it's really cool to see this, Justin. The now I'm gonna be honest with you, Justin. I was an NWO guy, so I hated Mongo because Mongo was always fighting the NWO. I hated him when I used to watch him back in the day because of that. But obviously a legend on the football field, and just very cool that he gets to have this honor.
Yeah, it is. I've never got to meet him in any capacity. I remember him fondly growing up. I remember, you know, he was a big part of the angle for WrestleMania 11 with Lawrence Taylor and Bam Bam Bigelow, of him being one of the NFL All-Pro guys. And he was out of all of them, aside from LT, out of all of the backup that LT had. Mongo was definitely the most active in terms of physically. I think his guy that he paired off with was Kama. I think it was Kama. And then, you know, he had the gift for gab, and then he, you know, went over to WCW, and he did good on commentary, got to be a horseman. I mean, so that, you know, that's not something many people get to say you do. So very entertaining. I never got to meet him. My co-host on Sundays Busted Open, Jonathan Hood. Jonathan also is on sports morning radio there in Chicago, and has got to work and have experiences with Mongo, had nothing but positive things to say about him. So yeah, really happy to see that he's getting this honor and around to experience it.
Yeah, it's of course, it's great that he's there to experience and be a part of it. I would say you got to give people their flowers while you can. But yeah, I say I hated him. Now, I think if I was to watch him now, if I was at my age now watching, I'd be like, this guy's great. This guy's fantastic. But of course, like I said, when I was younger, I was like, no, he's on the team I don't like, so I don't like this guy. But that's always good. You want people who are definitely interested and you're invested in, of course, again, 85. He was 85 Bears, was he not? Was he one of those 85 Bears guys? I can't remember.
He played for the Packers and the Bears.
Mostly for the Bears, but he did at the end. I think the end of his career, he was with the Packers.
Yeah, Montez saying Mongo was a wonderful character. Mm-hmm. By the way, Christopher Finley backing me up here saying The Rock only has one victory since defeating Cena, and that was Eric Rowan. Maybe the curse is holding true here. I will say, though, the exception.
He was on the 85 Bears.
I mean, come on. I mean, what a unit that was. Again, we talk about Super Bowls, though. We talk about how great yesterday was. What a lot of people watch the Super Bowl for is, of course, those commercials. And there was a couple of commercials that really stood out. And one was the Stone Cold Steve Austin growing a mullet for Kawasaki. And then Jade Cargill in the new Mountain Dew Super Bowl ad. Jimmy, did you watch Super Bowl? Did you see these commercials?
Yeah, I saw those commercials. I thought that was great. It's amazing that Jade got to be in the Mountain Dew one, because, you know, it just shows how much they have invested in her. You know, why Jade of all the women on the roster? Because it makes her look like a superstar coming in, which is one of the reasons why I kind of feel bad that she was debuted in that Royal Rumble, and didn't, because it almost felt like now she should have won it, so to speak. And the one with the Kawasaki with Stone Cold Steve Austin, whoever those guys were driving that Kawasaki by Steve when he was hitting that rock, when I'm out cutting the grass, drive by, please, I can use it.
Yeah, I love it. He's like, thanks, guys. Yeah. Just a fun, Justin, these were fun commercials. It was great to see Stone Cold back in there. Shows the kind of star that Stone Cold is, that I always say he hasn't really been at the level he was at for like 20 years, but people still just know who he is, and it still works to have him in spots like this. But also, as Jimmy mentioned, Jade Cargill, a lot of people could have been in that spot. Jade Cargill was the one they had there.
Yeah, I mean, Stone Cold, always an entertainer. He never gets old. He's still as quick as he ever was, and, you know, fantastic look with the mullet. Especially if you can remember seeing him back in the day when he did have hair, long blonde hair. Jade, I mean, good. I mean, it's kind of a little bit like what Jimmy said. You know, I debated about this a lot with the Rumble of, like, you know, should Jade even appear in the Rumble if she's not going to win it? She did, and I do think they managed to preserve her pretty well for the fact that she didn't win it. She didn't really lose her luster. Like, she came oh so close, but, you know, I thought they protected her, as we would say in the wrestling business. But yeah, I mean, you see her in a Super Bowl commercial. Inevitably, she's going to debut with regularity at some point this calendar year on WWE programming, Raw or SmackDown. That'll be the great bidding war there. The pressure is on. I think that she's, by the way she speaks about the all the things that the machine that this company has to offer in terms of the reach, the training, and I'm sure the company, I'm sure Triple H, Shawn Michaels, everybody is doing everything they can to help her and get her ready. But the pressure is on, and they all know it. There is so much weight that is going to be there on her to succeed and perform in whatever capacity they put her in, heel, face, Raw, SmackDown, whatever. That I don't envy her. I feel good. I feel good that she's going to knock it out of the park, given that they're slow playing this kind of. But damn the pressure.
Yeah,
she absolutely is going to have to deliver. But I think that they've gotten very good, WWE, that is, at just making sure people are positioned to succeed when they need to. And I just look at all the celebrities they've had show up and always seem to look like absolute rock stars when they have to get in the ring, even if it's only every now and again. Whenever they have to do something, they seem prepared now, as opposed to poor Jeremy Piven is always the first person I think of, you know, not quite being ready to do what he needed to do.
Well, Snooki wasn't exactly catch-as-catch-can material either.
Well, I was trying to think, what did he call SummerSlam? It was like Summerfest.
Summerfest.
Yeah.
Summerfest.
Yeah, but you know what? That was in like 2010. He gets a pass because then 3 or 4 years later, in the middle of the ring at WrestleMania 30, Hulk freaking Hogan, who built WrestleMania, is what was he calling Detroit or what was he calling the Superdome they were in? He was botching the name of that, and that was a big. So if the guy who built WrestleMania is standing in the middle of the ring on the 30th anniversary botching names of things, Piven can quietly go back to Hollywood.
At least he didn't botch the name of WrestleMania and only botch the name of the building, you know. And it's Hulk; he can get away with it. It almost make it feel like he did it on purpose. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's either way, it's nowadays I think people are ready and prepared. I think Jade will be ready and prepared. I feel like this is
what you guys remember. Jeff Harvey, you remember who said that in a live stand-up on pay-per-view?
No,
remember the experiment of trying the American Gladiators guy, Mike Adamly, and they tried. They tried to have him do serious like bits, and he was like doing like almost like he was like on the evening news doing like a lead-in to like a video vignette, but it was on Jeff Hardy, but he called him Jeff Harvey.
Now that you brought it up, it comes back.
Mike Adamly is the quintessential like a commentary guy that was just not ready for that that role. Yeah. It's weird because it feel like that went very poorly, but it feels like they continued to try to bring in people from outside of pro wrestling after that, and it feels like there was always issues with that, but they keep doing it up until recently, I guess. Mm-hmm. I will say I had this question for you. I want to follow back, Justin. I don't know. I feel like this is a Raj question, but I'll ask you here. Obviously, Mountain Dew has a partnership with WWE. That's probably why Jade Cargill was there. There was a connection there. But the ring they were in clearly was unbranded in any way for WWE. Do you know, is there a reason why they didn't try to leverage that in some way? If they're clearly putting a WWE star in their commercial. I don't know.
I don't know. My best in that, you're right, that is, but Raj would be the one that I would call for that one. My guess would be something with a licensing with, you know, Mountain Dew wants to have a wrestler in a ring, so they're not going to go to AEW and get a wrestler. They're going to go to WWE, but that might be different than, hey, we want it to be in a WWE-branded ring. That might cost more, or whatever agreement that is or is not in place with Mountain Dew and WWE might not involve that. And I'd imagine it's some legality. I that would be my guess.
I didn't know if there was you're right, it's probably a licensing thing. I didn't know if there was like an obvious like, oh yeah, duh, that's
go ahead, Justin.
I was just gonna say, I mean, they could have done a casting call in Hollywood and just gotten somebody who looks like a wrestler, but no, they I guess because they've had this working relationship with WWE, why not call WWE and say, hey, is there somebody that we could that people believe and understand as a wrestler? That is a choice by WWE to give somebody who's only had one match, if you call the Rumble a formal match on TV. But nonetheless, I would imagine it's a licensing thing.
That's probably the best. That's probably the best explanation. And it's interesting that they didn't show the actual impact of the. they kind of cut it right before she hit the splash.
Right. I'm sure. I feel like there was some computer graphics done there too for where they were landing. But in any case, I do want to say, speaking of commercials and things, they had a new WrestleMania XL trailer, Jimmy. They showed it again tonight on Raw. I thought this looked really cool. I thought it did not have the pro wrestling feel. It had the big budget blockbuster show vibe to it. What did you think of this WrestleMania XL trailer?
It adds a lot of layers now, and it gives people a lot of questions. And, you know, the big debate is what's going to happen at WrestleMania? Who's going to face who? Is it going to go the way they're saying right now? Is it going to be Cody versus Roman? Is it going to be a tag match now? Because of this this teaser trailer, people are saying, oh, we may get a tag match with Cody and Seth versus Roman and Rock. And could we do that night one and then have something else happen night two? And then, you know, it leaves a lot of questions. And the biggest question that people are having is this the plan all along? Are they, you know, taking a left turn, as Hunter said in his promo? Are they, you know, card subject to change kind of thing? I look at it this way, if I could explain it really quickly in the best way I can, is you're taking a trip, you're taking a drive, and there's two possible routes to your destination. You're leaving your house. You can take the most direct route and try to get there as quick as possible, or you could take a scenic route and see a lot of different things and say, hey, we could revisit this, we can revisit that. I think the thing here is they're heading to the destination they want to go to, but they're taking a more scenic route to it as opposed to making it more direct, so that keeps the fans guessing instead of having that, oh, we know what's going to happen at WrestleMania. So-and-so is going to beat so-and-so, and we're going to have this, you know. It's got everybody, even the people in the industry who like us, going, I wonder what's going to happen. Hey, and then we pull out the fantasy pencils and start figuring, hey, what if this happens? What if that happens? That's fun. There you go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Justin, this was, like I said, this was just a very cool teaser. This is a very cool trailer. I really dug it. I'd love your thoughts on it. And I also like the fact they didn't tell us specifically how things were going to go.
Yeah, I mean, I won't get just yet into the X's and O's of what we think is actually happening still with this, with the puzzle pieces. But just on that trailer, yeah, it looks tremendous. It's the type of thing that, like, you know, when you go to a movie theater right now, and obviously you sit through, you know, 6-7 previews before you get to your featured film. Hell, throw that in the rotation for people. Like, let them, because that, you know, throw a Hollywood star like The Rock in there, throw a recognizable wrestling face like Roman Reigns, you know, like, and just the production value it had and the feel that it had. It quite, you know, it felt like something even you would see that like Sunday night or Monday night football would do, where they would have like the captains from each football team walking to promote tonight's, like, it had that kind of a feel to it. It did not have a, and I don't want to slander my own kind of business, but it didn't have, there was nothing hokey or even not hokey. There was nothing traditional Sunday, this fighter in this corner, this fighter. It had real emotion. It had something, it had like more like a movie kind of trailer feel, or, you know, it's so it was well done. It leaves questions like, are these four all going to be in a match together on one of these nights? Again, we can go into the X's and O's whenever our format allows us to, but yeah, well done trailer. Yeah.
The other thing too, it did, if I may, just for a second here, is it took away from that perception from the kickoff show on the Thursday night that Cody was put in the, not Cody, Seth was put in the background, made minimized Seth to a certain degree. This at least put him in the picture, so to speak, and kind of made him feel like he's part of the puzzle. Whatever that part is, we don't know where he fits yet, but he at least made more of a presence in this presentation.
Yeah, I agree, and I wanted to shout out Beer Money here, who says, remember the Attitude Era WWF Super Bowl commercial? That was great. It was great, and it was really funny. I think the difference here, and sort of to Justin's point, that was funny, it was silly. This felt like a serious, like, whoa, what's going on over in WWE right now? What's that all about? Opposed to, hey, we're funny, crazy characters.
Yeah, that commercial was being filmed at Titan Towers and had all the colorful characters, events of Austin, of Kane. Like, so it felt like it summed up the goofy, crazy PG-13, you know, variety show that was the Attitude Era in that time period. Whereas this trailer, like I said, I akined it to like a Sunday Night Football preview. This feels like, you know, we are top of the top in terms of production value. We have every big name from The Rock to Pat McAfee on commentary to Bad Bunny and Logan Paul. Like this kind of, yeah, exemplified the tone of what WWE tries to set, which is they are industry leading brand at this point.
Yeah. You know, and right now WWE is obviously riding a high, and I never like putting down any company. But there are some reports at AEW over across the way. They've got a lot of signings potentially coming up. A lot of people are rumored that Okada is going to be signing there. It's rumored that Mercedes Moné will be signing there shortly in their Boston event. Shane Taylor, there's reports that he signed a contract. I thought he already had signed, but apparently that's signed. And, of course, Will Ospreay recently signed. But Dave Meltzer is saying that there seems to be a lack of excitement on a lot of these signings here. And I feel like we all have different opinions on maybe why we feel that way. Justin, I want to kind of kick it to you. And assuming AEW does get these signings, because right now it's still not official as far as I've seen, Okada, Moné, and then, of course, it is official, Ospreay. Is there a reason you think that these signings aren't maybe generating the buzz that they should be? Or do you think that this is the right amount of buzz they should be getting?
Well, I think that we've seen too many times them bring in names, but the effect the effect hasn't sustained. I mean, and there's so many. I mean, you know, even Adam Copeland. I mean, you know, he's in there. He, you know, he got there, and he looks like he's having fun, which good for him, and I'm sure he's being paid appropriately. But nobody has really. Punk moved the needle in a lot of measurements, but obviously that came with a lot of baggage and issues that went on there. They had a good run there. I forget. God, my years get all jumbled now, but it was in September of one of the years when you had Adam Cole come over and you had Bryan Danielson come over. And like, there's been buzz. There's been splash signings, but the follow-up just hasn't really been there long-term. So, and then also, you know, I mean, I can say from, you know, perspective from just what I can see and the things that have floated over my fence into my ear, you know, it's tough if you're a talent there. Everybody that's there is getting paid, you know, pretty well. And it's a better situation than grinding on the indies and making what you make there and having to hustle, you know. I think everybody's appreciative of being paid. And again, that's good on Tony. Tony takes care of talent. That is very clear. So I think everybody likes that. They like the schedule. You know, you're not bumping four times a week. There's more freedom to do some of your side hustles, some of the projects. So there's all those pros and perks, but it's also frustrating if you're a talent. You would want to be excited about having a company and a boss that has the ability to spend what he spends to bring in said names to improve your company and be somebody big for you to potentially work with and to just help help the building overall, help get seats overall. And if that's not happening, and or if that's one more person now, that means you're getting less TV time, and TV time is already sparse to begin with. It creates a lot of conflict and morale. It's like, I want to be happy. This should mean good for me, but it's a tough thing. But at the same time, you're also like, well, do I want to go back to the indies and happy? You know, so it's a tough thing. I think there's a lot of balance of pros and cons when it comes to morale. If you want to be appreciative to have a job and be getting paid, I mean, you know, but you also want to do your craft. Father time is the ultimate, you know, every week, every month that goes by, it's another week and month you get older as a talent. So it's like, yeah.
Jimmy, from a fan standpoint, because I want your thoughts in general, but just to sort of throw this as a concept out there, as Justin said, the more people that are there in the locker room, the harder it is to get TV time. And there are a lot of people who have been there and then someone else comes in, and there's only so many spots available. As a fan being interested, though, is there something to maybe me to people thinking, look, I've got my favorites. I started watching AEW because I liked the people you had. Now more and more people are coming in and they're taking the spots of the people I like. Do you think that maybe these big signings are turning some people off because these new signings are taking the spots of the people they wanted to see?
It could very well be because, you know, obviously we, as we've discussed many times here, AEW caters to a certain fan base, you know, the diehard hardcore wrestling fans. And yes, it's cool to see these new signings, these free agents that are rumored to be coming. Obviously the worst kept secret, Mercedes Moné, mm-hmm. after that huge announcement from Tony last week. But at the same time, the problem here is, do these new ones come in, not only take a spot up in the locker room, are they going to move the needle with other than their fan base? Are mm-hmm. they going to increase viewership? Are they going to bring new viewers in? Because you look at someone like an Okada, who's a great talent, but unless you're a fan of Japanese pro wrestling, you're not very familiar with him. You may have heard the name, you may check him out, you know, or whatever, but at the same time, is he a needle mover? Is Shane Taylor a needle mover? Is Mercedes Moné, with all due respect, you know, has a very popular fan base, but is she a needle mover for the company? Is she going to increase viewership? And with someone like Tony, who's very fixated with ratings, we know that, you know, again, is she going to increase, or them as a group increase that? But at the same time, to answer your question, it is the pro wrestling business. And every time you bring someone new in, now you start thinking, oh, this guy's who they're bringing this person in, they're going to take my spot. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's still the same mentality in the 2024 locker room, but back in the day, it was when guys would come in and say, oh, come on, man. But it made you work harder to find a spot. Now I think there's a more laxed attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And if you're a talent in AEW that's been there for the last couple of years at least, so you've been through the ride of coming out of the pandemic and this and that, whether you're male talent or female talent, no. If you're a talent and you look across the aisle and you see that Cody Rhodes decided to leave, he decided to leave for a reason. He decided to leave the place that he helped found, and Jade Cargill opted, from what I believe, to take less money up front guaranteed to go to WWE. When you see that, if you're a male or female talent in AEW, to go, huh, one of the founders here and somebody who was given a 60 match win streak and a new title and, you know, what, as she was, and it was still flawed in the presentation, but nonetheless, if you see that and you see that, okay, they both opted to leave and go over there, and oh my God, Cody is in headlines with The Rock and WrestleMania, and Jade is being treated, she's in Super Bowl commercials before she's even had a singles match. Like, again, that kind of stuff sits with you as a talent, and you're going, all right, well, again, I be appreciative that you have a job in AEW, but it's like, what did they know? What did they know that I don't know?
Perception.
What did they
reality.
See? That, yeah, you know.
Yeah,
and that's what I want to point out. Christopher Muniz, by the way, in the chat, mentioned Lexus King as well. Because one thing to say, well, Cody's a star, Jade Cargill's a star. Lexus King was not really a star in AEW. He had some time on TV, but I don't think people were, I don't think you would have written his name in a top 10 list. Where now on NXT, he's probably a top 10 on NXT. And I know that there's different levels in WWE, but he's definitely climbing up now. So there's something to that too. It's
and really quick, tough. Jack, sorry to cut you off, but there's that other thing. That's the opportunity in WWE to get elevated. Let's say an Okada came over to WWE and signed with them, it's not only this, there's a different schedule there. You know, it's not the same as AEW, where you possibly work once a week and you can take the rest of the week off. You know, you have to do live events as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe that played a factor in his decision-making. I don't know. But one of the other things, too, is Tony is, like you said, paying people, Justin. And it's good that he's paying people, but is he overpaying is the other question, to get these talents, to keep them away from WWE and give the perception that, hey, look, everybody wants to come here.
Yeah, and again, right as of now, as far as I know, I mean, Mercedes heavily implied that she's signed, and I think a lot of people believe Okada signed. I'm one of those guys, I don't believe it until I see it on my TV screen. I've been fooled way too many times, but
the sheets don't lie, brother.
I just, you know, especially these days, I just feel like I wait till I see it on the screen. I do think Mercedes will at the very least get a lot of people to tune in, because she has a very rabid fan base that I think her and Punk may have like the most rabid fan bases. If you don't believe me, just tweet something negative about Mercedes Moné and see what happens. It will not be good. But I think that that'll give them an opportunity. But again, it's, I don't know. I'd like to see them do well. I hope that these people debut if they are going to debut, and it's a big success for AEW. I enjoy AEW. I just, I have to agree. It doesn't feel like I'm super pumped about these signings as I have been in the past when Justin, like what you said, when Adam Cole and Bryan Danielson show up on the same night. And I was like, oh my God, like jumping up off my couch, like Tom Cruise on a talk show talking about falling in love, you know? So, yeah, hopefully this pops.
I don't know. It's just, I mean, the AEW's got a lot of, I mean, again, Okada, Mercedes. I mean, like, I mean, that, I mean, this is great, great wrestling talent, but it feels like Tony's philosophy is okay. Again, I'm going to have these talent under my umbrella so they can't be elsewhere. And I'm going to put out great match combinations. We've never seen this person versus this person. We've never seen this style or this style. And I just think there's still just a lack of focus on the big story. That's what makes me love. I love the character of Timeless Tony Storm, but that's what also makes me love about the Timeless Tony Storm versus Deonna Purrazzo is that there's a story that they're playing in the backstory. The two, like, it's like, yes, do more of this. But I feel like too often it's just, you're going to get a great matchup of this person, this person. And yeah, is it great X's and O's physicality and athleticism and can they do 20 minutes? Yes. But again, if you have so many of those guys and girls who could all do that, those matches all then start to just become blended in my mind as one. You're not leaving the building going, it makes it harder for them to stand out. And yeah, there is a section of crowd who wants to see hard hitting, who likes to see sometimes, you know, sell a crazy offensive move because that's a certain stuff. But it's like, that's not going to resonate with growing an audience. And if you, and look, year over year numbers for every one of his shows is down and down and down. And I know people are cutting cords and there's all kinds of those different variables, but still,
no,
it's going down and WWE's not going down.
Yeah. It's like my former boss used to say, and used to tell his talent, this is an entertainment product. We're like a variety show. We have something for everyone on the show. We, you know, there's comedy, there's a song and dance number, then there's a serious scene, you know, you got a little bit of everything. And that's the thing. Everything is starting to feel the same. You're right, Justin. I agree. I agree with you on that.
Yeah. So lots of, love to see again, hopefully it all works out, but, we got to talk about some WWE here. And as always, I want to give a shout out to everybody who has joined us in the chat, whether it be Adam or Tuck or Huffman or Baby or Christopher or Steven or Mike or Daniel or Maria or MDB Blue Chew and Nelly Belly and Ricky. And we got NYC Demon Diva, by the way, thanks for coming through, as well as Beer Money, Cornell and Bernie and Jeff Bailey and James and Peter and Bit and No Way and Joycey. Wow, a lot of people. Lance Davis and Safet and King Kia, Christopher, Mick, and KOD, Mr. Disaster as well. So lots of folks there. And the lurkers. Remember, like, comment, share, subscribe. 5-star review. Help Wrestling Inc. out. You know, again, we're doing a new format here, so we're doing a lot of news up front. Before we get into the Raw recap specifically, though, of course, Thursday had a lot of big news, and I'm sure our Friday show covered it, but we get a few different viewers here, so I wanted to touch on it. Jimmy, we had a press conference that set up a lot for WrestleMania. I'm going to admit, going into it, I was like, this is just going to be some filler nonsense. This, to me, was some of the best pro wrestling. We talk about entertainment. This was some of the best pro wrestling I've seen in a long time. This press conference absolutely blew me away. What were your takeaways on it?
It absolutely did. You know, we started off, it looked like it was just going to be another filler, like you said. But when we got to that final segment where they brought out Roman and they brought out the Rock and Seth, well, Seth opened up that segment. You know, Seth is, we're going to get into it about tonight, but anyways, Seth is just magic on that microphone. He just knows how to do it right. And then Cody coming out without his music, which I thought was a beautiful touch, something different where he was, because he came out pissed off. And, you know, and they dropped some language too. And that's the other thing that surprised me too. The language is a little bit more free flowing for this thing. And they got into it and you felt it. You felt real. You felt passion. And, you know, people are saying, you know,
the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Well, Rock did this. They changed it. No! Rock set the table that afternoon on the Pat McAfee show when he started. Mm-hmm. He cut that promo, which was pure heel Rock calling him Cody Crybabies. And you could say, yeah, he was directing it directly at Dave LaGreca. And that's fine. Dave owns that beautifully. But I thought they handled everything other than the fact that, like I said earlier, I thought that Seth looked like he got overshadowed a little bit and pushed to the background. But the teaser at Super, just before Super Bowl, I thought helped bring him back into the mix. And we'll talk about, like you said, tonight's interaction a little later, too.
Yeah, Justin, we'll talk about that interaction with Cody and Seth tonight. But just as far as the press conference goes, again, I love this. And a lot of people have been asking, like, are they pivoting? Was this the plan the whole time? All this other stuff. I keep saying, I don't know what would be more impressive to me. That they planned this and it worked, or that they were able to pivot this well and make it work this well. Either one, I think, is impressive. I don't know which way would be more impressive, to be totally honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. They obviously had, there's been some pivoting, obviously, because, you know, Punk gets hurt and he was supposed to be Seth's opponent from all we can tell. And, you know, Cody at first says, I'm going to challenge you, Roman, but not at Mania. So, I mean, so There was some pivoting. There's been some reaction. But bottom line, this event, this kickoff event, as they call it, was just a tremendous chess move by WWE. And I would expect, do it every year. Pick the Thursday before Super Bowl Sunday in that city where all the media is already at, and do it every year. I know they might not have The Rock every year, but do it every year for nothing else, just to get the word out there. But this entire event was just, it was an hour long, you know, hour and a little bit of change, but our event did not have a pro wrestling ring set up, did not have a pro wrestling match advertised, but yet you got the bare bones of what builds pro wrestling. The talking, the drama. You got that soap opera unfolded, the talking in the building unfolded on this stage. Crowd was engaged with oohs and with ahs, and as Jimmy mentioned, language that, you know, WWE, and even though they still on Peacock, you know, we're censoring it, some of it, it was language that felt real. You know, it's like, okay, wow, was Cody supposed to say that, or Rock just said they disrespected the family? Is that a little, you know, like it felt real. It was which then made, because there was no other physicality, it made the slap from Rock to Cody the biggest deal in the world, because that was the only physicality we got in this whole entire event. It was the perfect thing. If you wanted to bring somebody who wasn't a fan or was a new fan, or you're trying to convince, this was the bare bones of what pro wrestling is built on. And they just knocked it out of the park and did it, oh, by the way, with one of the most famous actors ever in Hollywood.
And the other, sorry to cut you off, Jack. And the thing, like you said, they came with such passion. And it felt real because it was real, because they brought in family. It was about family. And I told you this, Justin, a long time ago, not a long time ago, but I think a couple of weeks ago when you and Jay Hood, make it about family, make it personal. And that's what it feels like. Personal, you're disrespecting my family. And even at the end of that, when Rock was walking out with Roman and Paul Heyman, and he's walking by Hunter, who's being interviewed, fix this, crap. You know, you better do something about it, or I will.
That put the whole thing over the top.
Yeah,
and I'm sure the Rock probably. I'm sure the Rock, him dropping the F-bomb, probably it was him, just him doing what felt right in the moment, because they didn't even include that line in the video package tonight. They included some of the other words he said, and they censored him out. But even still, in the moment, that felt right. That felt like, wow, this feels like he's legit salty. Like it felt like come on, Rock does act. He does action. He does comedy. Let's get the man some drama nominations. Mm-hmm. It was there.
Yeah. It was just so good. And even in today's world, it was perfect, because I feel like there were so many little clips for social media of like moments you could just crop out and put that's your little TikTok thing of just the moment where he yells at Hunter or the moment where he slaps Cody, or the moment where Cody sasses them back,
Don't forget Hunter's response on Friday night on SmackDown, mm-hmm. where he says, I don't care what seat you sit at. No, there's only one person that runs this place, and that's me. Woo. So it even, it's wow.
Just incredible, incredible stuff. We're going to get into the show here now. And I want to start with what I thought was really the biggest moment of the night here. And we've alluded to it enough. Let's just talk about it. Cody Rhodes, when he came out and he thanks the fans for their support and says it's the reason that he's facing Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, then alluded to hitting the Rock back at some point. That's when Seth Rollins comes out and hypes up Cody and says that this is possibly the last chance for anyone to take the title from Roman. And then Seth asks Cody, what's your plan? Whatever it is, I'll be your shield. Justin, I feel like I say this every week. This was chef's kiss, picture perfect from both men here.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, Seth is certainly the outside man of all this. He's the one who, his original opponent gets injured, as we said, with Punk. He's not 100% either with his knee. He kind of feels like the odd man out in all this, but yet, and the promos he's been delivering on Raw have just been some of the best ever. And again, tonight, with the passion and the delivery and the wording, first off, he's rallying Cody and saying, yeah, Cody, you are our last chance to get this title off this monster, to bring it back mm-hmm. to true glory and defense. So rallying like that, basically saying, me and all the boys in the locker room, we need you to win this. So that A number one, that, I think we can all agree, first off, real quick, to both of you, Mania is two nights. That opens up a lot of real estate here, right? But I think we all can agree, Cody is going to fight Roman. That match is happening at Mania.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The question mark then becomes, there's another night, so there's more room, and there's all the other subplots here. So bottom line, Cody versus Roman is happening. So Seth has given you the rally cry of, we are all behind you because you need to win this. That's great. And then, him saying, hey, what's your battle plan this time, bud? Last time you got screwed because you got outnumbered. Again, an obvious question that we're all thinking. Hey, Cody, how are you going to get by that this time? And oh, by the way, the Rock's there now. I like that. And then, of course, the wording, Seth taking responsibility for the creation of the monster of Roman. But I could be your shield. I could be the one guy who would know his tricks. And it was a tremendous promo. It was a tremendous promo. I can't really fault anything of it. So the question I now will pose to you guys is okay, so what is it? Because I'll walk you through my mindset, and then you tell me where you guys are at. When Thursday ended, it was like, well, this feels like a tag team situation, right? Rock is clearly aligned with his blood in Roman, so it makes no sense to have them have a match in the next 2 months. That has been pushed down the road, right? Rock and Roman are clearly aligned with their bloodline tree. But Seth standing up for Cody, okay, so it felt like a tag team situation. That was what I left Thursday night. Then we get to SmackDown Friday, and both the comments that Triple H made, but also they finally officially announced that Seth is going to have a title match, a title defense at Mania, and it's going to be against whoever wins a chamber. They'd finally announced a men's chamber because last week on Raw, they'd only announced a women's chamber. So we finally found out, okay, there's going to be a men's chamber. So now I'm like, all right, well, so Seth's going to have a singles title match. Do we need him working two matches, especially if his knee's banged up?
Right.
You know, so I left Friday, and I said this on Busted Open Sunday, and I still stand by it logically, even though tonight I stand by. Seth can be a supportive babyface to Cody, but Seth's going to have his own problems. He's going to have to defend his own title. Cody is going to fight Roman. We all agree on that. Cody also needs to punch Rock back, as he said tonight.
Right.
So to me, I still believe Cody's the guy to work double duty. Cody's the guy to make history on WrestleMania and to be the first one to work both nights. He works Rock the first night on a matter of respect, and then he works Roman the second night on the matter of the title.
I do like that.
Yeah, and I got to say, I love that because everyone has been talking about Roman working two nights, and I always feel like that just Cody beating him after he had a match the night before makes Cody look like he just picked the bones of what someone else did. That makes him look kind of like a chump. Where if Cody goes through both of them, that makes him look like an even bigger hero, which is obviously what we want to see from Cody Rhodes here. And Jimmy, I want your thoughts on all this and on Justin's view on this, because he makes a ton of points, and it actually plays into everything you said at the beginning, which was, I know us fans, we want to know where it's going to go, but we have no idea, and that makes it interesting.
That's the beauty of it.
And so I want your thoughts on all of that, but also I want to add on top of all of that, just talk to me about how, I don't know if we really appreciate how incredible it is that we have waited for years for The Rock to come back. We've begged for The Rock to come back. He's come back, and we are booing him almost universally for Cody Rhodes. Like, just what that means about who Cody Rhodes is and what he's done. Yes, there's some people who like The Rock still, but like, you listen to that crowd. That was a Cody Rhodes crowd.
Mm-hmm. Ask Tony Khan that too.
Yeah, exactly. It's organic with Cody Rhodes. He has become the face of the company. And you look at his presentation now with the way he comes in with the suits, and he's when he's walking to the ring and he's signing autographs for the kids on the way to the ring and stuff like that. Here's a guy who looks like he is the face of the company, the kind of face that the WWE would like to have out there. Yes, it's cool having a heel champion and all that sort of stuff. But you also, you remember the good old days with Hulk Hogan and stuff like that, but Hulk wasn't as crowd friendly with the crowd, if you know what I mean. Hulk did this whole, you know, from a distance. Cody's very personable, you know what I mean? And they've gravitated to him so much. And now in this generation, in 2024, this generation of the enlightened who read the internet, here comes The Rock now. He sits on the board. He's taking a spot away from our guy. The guy we want to see. It's working out perfectly. And Rock is good enough to know when to flip that switch and become heel Rock. And that's what he's done beautifully here with the Cody crybaby stuff and all that sort of thing. So I love this road. And as far as where they go at WrestleMania, it would be interesting to have that tag match on the first night. But at the same time, it doesn't make it special for Cody if it's more than him doing two nights. If Cody ends up finishing the story on the second night, him working double duty makes it more special to work two nights of WrestleMania, if you get my drift.
And to finish the story, having to battle The Rock. I mean, to be a man to take on Rock and Roman in the same weekend. You know, I mean, it's just.
Let's fantasy book here for a second. Let's say Cody does face The Rock on the first night, and he does beat him, and then Rock comes up to Roman on, you know, they do a little backstage vignette where, hey, you got to, it's up to you now to finish this for the family, that sort of thing, and Roman does this kind of, yeah, I'll do what you couldn't do last night, and walks away, and you get that look from The Rock like, oh, you son of a bitch. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. And then you can start setting the table for if you want that Rock Roman match down the road, at least the seed is planted or something along those lines.
Yeah. Cornell asking, Ruck gets his Hollywood theme back, right? I mean, that's what everyone wants to have happen, right? That old Hollywood theme. But yeah, that's one of my favorite parts about the fantasy book and all this too, is you look at some of the pieces involved, whether it's The Rock, whether it's Roman and Paul Heyman and everyone in the bloodline, Seth Rollins as well. None of these people are above stabbing their partners in the back. You know, like even if we fantasy book, like, oh, these are the sides in the battle lines. Do we know that one of them isn't going to sell someone else out for their own good? And even the Drew McIntyres and peripheral characters, and how are they going to get involved?
Well, and then there's also the Triple H factor. Like, I don't think I legit. I mean, you know, maybe he could take a bump or a strike, but he's not. I don't think Paul's in the condition to work a match anymore. At least not at the level that he'd ever call a match. You know, not never at the level that he would want to be a Triple H match. He has obviously his expectations. So it's like, it sucks. Like, you can't have a Rock versus Triple H match in 2024, even though right now that feels like that would be awesome because there's all this, you know, Triple H is in charge of creative, but Rock's legit on the board. So like, they're, you know, I feel like Triple H could escort being Cody's corner and Nick Khan could come out and be in Rock's corner. Like, even though it feels like it's kind of real, we probably can't have Triple H in a match, but he's still a factor, and he's kind of making himself in a factor based upon his promo last Friday. Mm-hmm. So this is fascinating stuff right now.
Yeah. Well, and on top of that, of course, Triple H obviously in a real position of power, The Rock in a real position of power. They're dividing here, but also we had some characters like Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis who have been going at it. So you could even have a very on camera, like storyline driven version of like a Succession of what if Adam Pearce does something to try to screw over Nick Aldis, you know, how does that play into things? And it's just so much cool stuff.
So, and again, and the, obviously that's got the highlight spot and the most attention, but we still have to think about Drew. We have the Elimination Chamber setting up, his potential opponent for WrestleMania. I like Drew for that spot because I think Drew is doing some fantastic. We talk about Seth Rollins knocking it out of the park. Drew's been knocking it out of the park for the last little while as well. I could see him. And I also have the way my brain works here, an idea for that match. If you will indulge me just for a minute.
For the Elimination Chamber?
For the WrestleMania match with Drew and Seth, if it ends up being Drew and Seth,
let's talk real quick. First of all, I just gotta say, I think Seth Rollins is one of the most underrated guys in pro wrestling right now with what he can do on the microphone. It's a shame that there's so many great guys on the microphone because he doesn't get the credit he deserves, especially after tonight. But before we get into the Drew versus Seth potentially at WrestleMania, I do want to say we had a couple Elimination Chamber qualifying matches. Bronson Reed versus Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley gets the win there. And LA Knight versus Ivar, with LA Knight getting the win in that one. So they now fill the chamber up, but Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, Bobby Lashley, and LA Knight have made their way in. Jimmy, right back at you. You think Drew McIntyre gets the win. Give me your fantasy booking for Drew versus Seth.
It's lining up to be a heck of a star-studded lineup for the chamber match. I'd like to see Drew come out of it because, like I said, he is true old school heel in 2024 and it's working. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to see him go against Seth. And here's my fantasy booking for that match, because I think they could have a hell of a match despite, hopefully Seth's knee is fine. Let's put it that way. But let's say they have their match going in and Drew is working over the knee and the back and really, really putting a beat down on Seth. Then finally, out of nowhere, Seth hits that curb stomp and goes down and sells the knee big time. Did it again. And, you know, Drew's down selling the curb stomp. Here comes, I know you guys are going to get fans of Damian Priest are going to get pissed off here. Here comes Damian Priest with the Money in the Bank cash in, hands it to the referee. Ladies and gentlemen, Damian Priest is cashing in his Money in the Bank. This has now become a three-way match. As soon as he slides in under that bottom rope, now, depending on who you want to win on this, it works both ways. Have Seth hit him with the curb stomp. Then when he sells back up and gets around, there's the Claymore kick. 1, 2, 3, Drew's your new champion. If you're going to keep the title on Seth, you can flip that. when he slides under the ring, because Drew has been having his issues with Damian Priest. As soon as he slides into the ring, there's the Claymore kick, you know, and while he's down getting back up, Drew can hit again the second curb stomp and take out Drew 1, 2, 3. But that's just it. It gets the Money in the Bank off of Drew in a way. I know people are going to say, but he just entered the match. I know, I get it. But at the same time, do we see Damian Priest actually cashing in for the title at this point?
Well, that is an interesting, it is tough because right now the championship picture is just so stacked. Of course, Goose Rob in the chat says, rather see Sammy face Seth. Baby I says, Jimmy's ready to join our heel army. Jack. but Justin, what's your takeaway from these qualifying matches and where Elimination Chamber is going, and thoughts on Jimmy's idea here? My quick takeaway, I know it doesn't matter in this day and age, but I kind of felt like Team Raw got cooked tonight. Team SmackDown ran the table on us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I always think the lines are blurry between the shows, but I was surprised that Bronson didn't beat Lashley. I thought, again, just him being Australian, that they put him in there for the match. I know Lashley's a bigger name globally, but I just thought that Bronson would get in. So a little surprised there. Yeah, you know, LA Knight, he gets in there. He's still over like Rover, but as cool as it would be to see him win the chamber, I don't think him winning the title from a babyface champion and Seth is the right move. That's not LA Knight's got world championship material somewhere down the line, but he needs to beat a heel. I agree. I think Drew's probably the foregone conclusion of who comes out of chamber and who challenges Seth for the title at Mania. My belief is one way or the other, Mania is the end of the line for Seth. Even if his knee is well enough to where he's able to do a match, this guy deserves a break. He's been the workhorse. Let him have a little bit of time off. So get the title off him. My question then becomes, does Drew beat Seth? And you know, and Drew holds it for, you know, and has, you know, and certainly Drew's earned it, you know. Does Drew win it and hold it? And then he's been taking so many shots at Punk. Does he hold it until Punk can come back sometime in the summertime? Or does Drew and or Seth, one of them victorious at Mania, and then here comes Priest, and Priest just squashes one or the other one? Either way. And Priest goes into the post-Mania season as champion. Remember, Priest got that briefcase last June, so his clock is ticking. His clock is coming up on having to use that cash in. So one way or the other, I think it's Drew versus Seth, and then it's just a matter of where do we go outside after that. Do we, you know, is it Drew making a run for a little bit? Is it Priest casting in? But I think let Seth go home and have a few weeks off. For Christ's sakes, I think he's earned it, you know?
Yeah, and I do feel like he's going to try to get through Mania and then, yeah, probably rehab for a bit and heal up a little bit. But, I mean, it's, yeah, that world title picture, both of them is so hot. Like, it's so tough because, yeah, LA Knight feels like he's the guy, but at the same time, like, well, there's a bottleneck right now of people who, yeah, I just don't know.
And there's still the U.S. title picture with Logan Paul. Maybe Knight comes into that to get Knight a title. Because again, I go real quick back to Rollins real quick. You need to get Rollins some time off because he's earned it. Get him 100% healthy because sometime this summer, Punk will be back.
Mm-hmm.
And when Punk's ready to go, you want Seth ready to go so we can pick back up and get. I mean, like, I saw Seth had an interview over this media weekend where he said, if I was in UFC, I'd probably do better than Punk did. Like, I mean, so they're not letting this down. They are keeping this, they're keeping the darts going. So if I'm Triple H, I'm thinking, here's one of my big SummerSlam matches. Yep. But you need them healthy. And there's always the risk if you ask Seth to stick around that Seth gets injured again or more injured, or whatever. So get the title off of him. You have options. Let him heal up, and you pick up the phone later in the summertime, and when you call him and say, hey, all right, how are you? You good? Great. Punk's ready to go. SummerSlam. Let's do this.
It's crazy how we are going to have two nights of WrestleMania, and I feel like there are still huge names that may not make it because of how many big names are going to be on it, because it does make you think, well, what's LA Knight going to do? And then I know a lot of people say like the Logan Paul, but then, okay, what's Gunther going to do? Then what's, you know, what's Randy Orton going to do?
I feel bad for Gunther. Gunther wanted his match versus Brock. He was going to have Brock, and Brock's being erased.
Yeah. That would have been a big elevation for him. Let's put it that way, against Brock. But hey, there, it looks like another star on the horizon, and we didn't talk about Jey Uso. The people are, he's being backed by the people. They love him.
Well, you know, it's almost like you're looking at my notes here, Jimmy, because I did want to talk about that New Day versus Jey Uso and Imperium match, 3-segment match. Good one as usual. Came down to Uso pinning Giovanni. It does see now, Jimmy, Jey Uso is getting a title shot next week is what they've said.
Yeah.
Now I'll tell you this, any other time I would have said he's not losing it on a random Monday Night Raw. This isn't how it's going to go down, but because there's a lot of stuff going on and there's a lot of openings in WWE, it wouldn't necessarily, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Jey Uso could possibly take the title next week. Am I crazy to say that? Or is there possibly a threat to Gunther's title? Or no, is there no threat?
You know what? You've got me thinking now, because I didn't think that way, because I thought this was leading towards a WrestleMania match for Gunther and Jey Uso to fill in that void left by Brock. Now they're putting it on TV next week on Monday night. Now, because of what you just said, it made me go, it wouldn't be such a bad idea to do that, because he's already surpassed that line that he is the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time. So that barrier has been broken. So that's no longer in play. Yes, Gunther could say, yes, I'm going to continue this legacy for as long as possible. But at the same time, you've got somebody who's got some steam behind him in Jey Uso, main event Jey Uso, to the point, even Pat McAfee standing on the table and doing the hand thing and all that sort of stuff. The entire crowd was with it, you know, so he's got something. You got me thinking that it could be a possibility next week.
Look, Jay's worthy. He's got the crowd. Next week they're in Anaheim, so you know it's essentially Los Angeles. It's a big market. So yeah, all the pieces are in place. But the problem that I have is, okay, Jey Uso beats Gunther next week, dethrones him, becomes the new IC champion. What does Gunther do for Mania? He has to have some big match at Mania. And again, you know, we don't know what was going to happen. We all, you know, but if Gunther had some interaction with Brock and Brock eliminated him, or he eliminated Brock at Rumble, right? I could believe in Gunther losing to Jey on this Raw. And then after that Raw, stuff with he and Brock picks back up, because there's a grudge, there's beef from Rumble. And that's when we have this grudge match at Mania. But if Brock's not of an available factor, which we don't think he is, like, what does Gunther do? Like, does Braun Breaker show up? He's being bid on by the GMs. Does Braun Breaker get signed? And do you have a Braun Breaker? That's my thing. Is like, if Gunther's going to lose that title, you have to have something. You can't have the guy who just had a 600-day run not be featured in a match on Mania, whether he's champion or not. He has to be featured. So it's like, that's my question. Gunther versus Randy Orton, what's the story? But maybe, like, you have to have a match for Gunther. That's my thing for Mania.
Yeah, Gunther absolutely has to be on there. But there's a lot of ways it could go. I don't know. We'll have to see how that plays out. As far as the rest of the show goes, we had Liv Morgan. She qualified for Elimination Chamber as well. But Becky Lynch, who's also qualified, says that that she's going to show the world that she's more aggressive than anyone could ever imagine. Nia Jax comes out and says it's going to come down to her and Becky at WrestleMania. But Rhea Ripley finally gets Nia Jax. Jimmy, this almost feels like the opposite of the Men's Rumble in a lot of ways. It feels like, and I've been wrong many times, we're kind of just getting ready for Becky versus Rhea Ripley. And all this is just, we're waiting for this to untangle itself, for that to happen. Do you think that that's, am I right for one, or should I pump the brakes? Like everyone should have pumped the brakes on The Rock coming back and his involvement, or is this just kind of, we're waiting until we get to where we all know we're going?
It feels that way. It feels like it is leading to Becky versus Rhea at WrestleMania. But at the same time, she even acknowledged it tonight in her promo that, you know, people are backing Rhea. And again, there's now you're entering that muddy water, that kind of like, oh boy, it's kind of like babyface versus, you know, babyface. Are you going to split the crowd? What kind of reaction are you going to get during this match? Because it's not like the true antagonist versus protagonist that wrestling was built on over the years. So the only risk you run there is, who is the crowd going to back? And also depending on who you think is going to go over, if that is the match. At least if it was a surprise win by Nia Jax at Elimination Chamber, which I don't see happening, but I'm just saying, what if you get Becky getting her receipt on Nia, so to speak.
Yeah, Justin, it feels like there's more. I feel like there's more who may win in Rhea Ripley and Nia Jax than I do in the Elimination Chamber. And to be fair, there's not that many people in the Elimination Chamber yet. We don't know everybody, but I feel like if Becky doesn't win, then I just really don't understand what her role is right now.
No, I mean, it feels like it's a foregone conclusion that Becky's winning that chamber. Nia versus Rhea in Australia will be fun, given the support that Nia is going to have in her home country, but I can't see her losing that. You know, you guys know I am so huge on Nia, and did you know? And again, I've been talking and preaching about she's making that turn. She's. Did you guys notice tonight? She was not pictured once tonight with the Judgment Day. Mm-hmm. Judgment Day was backstage. Mm-hmm. Judgment Day was in the ring. She wasn't with him once. She had the same colors on. That's about it. Right. It's happening. The creative is finally embracing that she is, people want to cheer mommy, and that's happened.
Yeah.
So,
one of the last things I really wanted to touch on was R-Truth and JD McDonagh. They have a match. JD finally wins a match. I don't think I've ever seen him win a match on the main roster in a solo match. But R-Truth is officially out of Judgment Day. And then DIY or DX, depending on who you ask, come to save them. Justin, very fun bit backstage calling DIY DX, but I'll be honest, this whole group feels like it's definitely on its final days.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. I don't know what the long game is, but, Truth's fun. DIY, they weren't in action tonight, but they've had momentum recently on TV in terms of in the tag team division rising up the ranks. So we'll see. But yeah, JD McDonagh, much needed TV win. Shinsuke Nakamura, much needed TV win. So yeah. I'm glad we got it for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jimmy, any thoughts on R-Truth, Judgment Day? Do you want to see them continue this? Are you ready for it to wrap up? Any final thoughts on that portion? And then we'll wrap up the rest of the show.
No, I think it's time for it to come to an end. I think not only just the R-Truth portion, but the entire Judgment Day portion for that faction to explode. And, you know, beginning with Rhea, you know, like you said, Justin, you know, the separation seems like it's already there. Now we just have to give the audience that what happened here. Give them that little bit, like, I'm not sure if you mentioned it, Justin, a little while back, where she dumps Dominic.
Or Snaky Dom Dom's caught hanging out with somebody else.
Yeah, you never know.
Nia Jax.
Yeah, and that sets off a fuse and you know, throw the grenade in the room, so to speak, with the Judgment Day. But, you know, Truth is entertaining enough. I love Truth. He makes, like, if I wasn't, even Damian Priest said it, he's the one guy who makes him break character because he's so much fun, you know, and he can do it with anybody. It doesn't matter. Put him anywhere and with anyone and he can do it. So why not? Move on.
Everyone in the chat, let me know your final thoughts on the show. Let us also know, and seriously in the comments, let us know what you think about the new format. Of course, we're a bit more news heavy up front, and then we go through the show a bit more big stuff up top, and then the stuff that maybe wasn't as big, sort of just let it wash out. Justin, overall final thoughts on the show, and any thoughts to add on Sami Zayn and Shinsuke or Drew McIntyre or Andrade or any of the other stuff that we rushed over?
The Andrade video was nice. Again, nice video vignette to kind of, again, reset with, you know, we saw him at Rumble, but a nice reset of who he is, and I like to see more of him. But yeah, I mean, it was an okay Raw. It was not the best Raw, but it's one of those Raws that's kind of transitional. You know, we're coming off of a big Thursday presser event, big SmackDown, and then next SmackDown, Rockin' is going to be there again. So this was kind of transitional, but they kept the stories moving. It was what it was. Yeah, I mean, they're shifting gears. They're not yet in that fourth gear yet. They're shifting here on the road to Mania. It's a lot of exciting stuff. So very cool. Follow me at Justin Labar across the socials. Here on Monday nights with you guys on Wrestling Inc. Every Friday mornings, I have my Spar with Labar segment on Busted Open with Dave LaGreca and Thunder Rosa. And then I have the entire 3 hours, myself and Jonathan Hood, 3 hours, 9 a.m. to noon, Busted Open on Sundays on SiriusXM. You can listen live. If you can't listen live, you can download the SiriusXM app. You can listen to the show on demand, so you can fast forward through all 3 hours to the topic you want, or they condense the best 45 minutes and turn it into a podcast, which you can get on all your podcast forms. So plenty of ways to consume it. It's a great show, a lot of great content. So I encourage you to check it out.
Definitely recommend everyone check that out. And Jimmy, by the way, real quick, I want to give a shout out to Carl, who's a great show, first time listener. Thanks so much for joining Carl. Us, Carl.
Oh, Carl LeDuc. That's from the LeDuc family. He's from, you talk about Bloodline.
Bloodsport?
No, the blood, Joe LeDuc and yes.
Oh,
no way. That's wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I messed up. Who is, I can't remember who Frank Dukes is Dukes, not LeDuc. Yeah. Okay. For me, you can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media and all the stuff I'm working on. I'm going to be doing commentary for Prestige Wrestling here in Los Angeles on the 25th, and that's going to be a banger of a card. It's going to have Mustafa Ali on it. Jordan Grace is going to be there. Chris Sabin, Tiger Mask. It's going to be a really, really cool show, so check that out. I think it's on IWTV. You can order it there. That'll be a fun thing. And also, I will be on, of course, as usual, back on the AEW After Show here on Wrestling Inc. So we'll chat all about everything that goes down over there.
Yeah. Get my stuff in too?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Looking forward to Wednesday with you, gentlemen, Jack Farmer and Issa. You can find me on Wednesday nights with you guys, and here Triple J on Monday nights, which when we break it down, so to speak, I'm stealing gimmicks again, but you can find me across all my social platforms. Like I said, the Roughing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and I, and RJ, who holds it all together. We have a blast doing that. We got Shark Boy this week. We talked to Trevor Murdoch last week. Oh man, had a lot of fun and hearing some fun stories from him. And you know, my Rough and Rants that I do daily from Monday to Friday, just my little critiques. I get to nitpick, like I said, tighten the screws that I think need to be tightened, and the opinions expressed here are my own and not those of Wrestling Inc. or anyone else.
Those are always really fun to watch as well as Reffing It Up is always a real treat to listen to. So everyone should definitely check that out when I'm not cutting off Jimmy before his chance to.
Where was your WrestleMania match you reffed, Jack? Yeah. You're cutting off the man.
Hey, I was always told, get your brother.
Right.
Yeah, we're not allowed to say that word anymore. I said earlier, I was almost like, we're not allowed to say that anymore. Yeah, get your stuff in.
We got rules.
Get your stuff in, yeah.
We got rules. We're professional broadcasters.
Yeah, I don't give a flying fernum what you think. Yeah.
Well, you guys can hear more of these.
Well, it seems to be the officer problem.
Guys, we're tuning out here. Check out the Wrestling Inc. After Show tomorrow after NXT. We'll see you there. Till next time.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.